In the society in which we live, all over the world, not only confined to the United States, there are many women who are living alone. Single women who have never been married, divorcees, widows. And there is one thing I note amongst many single women, regardless as to the reason for their singleness at the moment. But when they come to talk with me, I note two attitudes assumed by them. One attitude of self-pity and another one of resentment. And especially an attitude is noticeable when someone is divorced or suddenly widowed, that attitude of frustration. They feel like the known structures of their lives have suddenly crumbled into ashes. And they say, "What is left for me? I'm afraid. I'm a woman alone." I'd like to talk with you at this moment about this number one problem, a woman alone. First of all, I wonder if you have read within the last few years some of the wonderful accomplishments by women alone. Frankly, many more outstanding accomplishments, I'm sure, done by women alone than by women who were married. And I think of the missionary Lil Dixon, who at 80 years of age has a 20-year projected program for her missionary work. A woman who has given forth tirelessly. She's been totally expendable for God. A woman whose life and ministry will never die when she goes on to be with the Lord. But pages of history will be written about her. If you do not know the name Lil Dixon, you have missed one of the most outstanding women God ever brought on this earth, who has done one of the most outstanding ministries amongst forgotten people. I think of one of the most beautiful retreat centers in the whole United States. Many times I've been there. It has been the scene of revival. It has been the scene of reclaimed lives. It has been the scene of new relationships with Jesus. It is called Forest Home in California. That retreat center would not be there today if it were not for a woman alone, Henrietta Mears. Perhaps many of you have read about her. A woman who entered every single area wherever she could be made a blessing, even into the area of the entertaining world of Hollywood. There she nurtured and taught the Word of God amongst people that other people ignored, saying, "They're not interested." Henrietta Mears knew differently. Her life was involved in so many areas that today hundreds of thousands of people say she was a blessed woman and she blessed my life. How about Corrie ten Boom? Her name has become very prominent through her book, through her movie, through her life, a woman alone who went through every kind of tribulation and suffering that a woman could go through, and yet came out so refined that today, advanced in age, college students clamor to hear her. Why? A woman alone, yet a woman filled with the Spirit of God, whose life is counting for Christ all over the world. I'd like to refer you to a portion of Scripture, and I'd like you to look at it in depth. We don't have time to look at it in depth, but I'd like you to look at it in depth. It's Jeremiah, the first chapter and the fifth verse. There are four things that God said to Jeremiah. Jeremiah was overwhelmed with his status. God was calling him to do something for his people, and he said, "Look, I'm young. I'm alone. I have nobody to help me. I can't speak. I've never done this before." And he went on and on to reiterate his problems. And I hear many women alone saying this. "Well, I don't have a husband. I don't have the security of a family. I don't have any children. I don't have anybody to care about me." And that's what Jeremiah was saying to God. He was evaluating his insufficiencies before God. And God answers, Jeremiah. And as he does, he speaks to your heart as a woman alone. He says four things to Jeremiah. First, I formed you. Second, I knew you. Third, I set you apart. The word sanctified means set apart. Fourth, I appointed you. Let us look at the first thing God said to Jeremiah. I formed you. Have you ever stopped to realize that you are his special workmanship? That God made you to be exactly what you are? You know, psychiatrists tell us that the basic factor in life is acceptance. And this is a factor that can cause all kinds of inner emotional turmoil. And we have to begin with the acceptance of self, ourselves. Do I accept myself? Now, that doesn't mean I approve of myself. There are two different words. You can accept someone without approval. We're to study to show ourselves approved unto God. But God accepts us through Jesus Christ. But when he accepts us, there is to be a process in our life, the process of studying his word so that we can be approved. When I say I accept myself, that doesn't say I approve of myself. I accept myself. And knowing that God made me very special, an individual. You know, it's a wonderful thing to know that God is a very individual God and a very personal God. There are no two thumbprints alike in this whole world. Isn't that something to consider? As there are no two snowflakes alike. There are no two thumbprints alike. When you think that we are his special individual workmanship, that means we can straighten up our shoulders, we can lift our head, raise our chin, and look straight out and upward and say, thank you, Lord, for making me as I am. The central factor in life is acceptance. Now, when we've learned to accept ourselves, then we learn acceptance of others. And when we learn acceptance of others, we learn acceptance of circumstances and conditions. And I find as I chat intimately with women alone, they do not accept others. You see, as you look out upon others and you see a woman with a husband and you don't have any. You see a woman with children and you don't have any. You see a woman involved in family life and enjoying it and you don't have any. You don't accept that. You refuse to accept it because you're full of resentment and full of self-pity. You are not willing to accept the circumstances wherein God has placed you. If God has made us so individual, then he has also patterned for us individual circumstances. If he's concerned with forming us as an individual, he is also concerned with planning for our lives individual circumstances. Therefore, I must come to the basic factor of acceptance of me to be able to reach out and accept others and accept my circumstances. I believe if there's any prayer that a woman alone has to pray, it's this one. Lord, change my attitude. And I think of a woman who came to me who for 27 years had nursed an invalid mother. She had given up an opportunity for a beautiful marriage, torn between two loves in her life and one responsibility, a totally helpless invalid mother and a man who said he loved her, but not her invalid mother. And thus we find a woman in the midst of the most tremendous conflict of her life, and she made a decision. She gave up the chance of marriage to nurse her mother. And she said she felt herself becoming bitter and full of resentment and walking around in this world with nothing but chips on her shoulder, not willing to accept her circumstances. If you don't accept one area in acceptance, you won't accept another. She wasn't willing to accept her circumstances and was getting to the place where she couldn't even accept her mother because she couldn't accept herself. And then one day, reading the Word of God, she realized she'd never prayed one prayer. Lord, change my attitude to me and what you have planned for me. I am of your workmanship. If I am of your workmanship in body, I am of your workmanship in position and in circumstances. And so she realized that unless the Lord changed her attitude, her frustrations and her resentments were going to cause massive emotional problems. You know, God did just that. He answered her prayer. He changed her attitude. And do you know that that woman today has been responsible for leading many young business women to Jesus Christ? You see, the Lord changed her attitude to her circumstances. And though she's never had the joy of having children born of her body, she has had the joy of having spiritual children, born by the Spirit of God because of her life. And her family is far bigger than any physical family would ever have been. And a family that rises up to call her blessed, as people do all over the world for Lil Dixon and Henrietta Mears and Corrie Ten Boom, so with this woman, in the area where she lives, they rise up and call her blessed. It was Paul who gave us one of the most power-packed chapters in the whole of God's Word, Philippians, the fourth chapter, when he makes three statements. I have learned contentment. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. And I know how to accept. I know how to abound and to be abased. In other words, I know how to accept the vicissitudes of life. I know how to accept the place where I am, the circumstances in which I find myself. As God said to Jeremiah, Jeremiah, I formed you. You are my workmanship. So he is saying to you and me today, I made you. You are as you are. Accept yourself. And then, study to show yourself approved unto God. But the second thing that God said to Jeremiah, he says to you and to me, I know you. You know, you might think you know yourself, but aren't you surprised sometimes with what you'll say or do? Aren't you really a surprise to yourself? I am to myself. There are many times when I really get out of control, and I'm surprised as to my thoughts, as to my motivation as I examine it, as to my ideas that I've never shared with anybody else. Adjusting to self must be the second area which we enter after we have accepted ourselves. And how can we adjust to ourselves unless we have ourselves shown to us? You know, I think of the prophet Isaiah. Have you read that great book? It's one of my choicest in the Old Testament. Have you read Isaiah, the sixth chapter, lately? Here was a man, very articulate, well-trained, ready to go out on a ministry for God. And suddenly he goes to the temple. There could have been many reasons why he went to the temple that day. Maybe he was weighed down with the world in which he lived. The society around him was crumbling. The king had died. There were all kinds of pressures in his life. But whatever the reason for his going to the temple, he had a vision of himself. He saw the Lord. You know, dear one, that's when your life and mine can change in attitude. When we really see the Lord Jesus Christ as he truly is, when we take a good look at him and see him in all of his loveliness, see him in all of his graciousness and his patience and his long-suffering and his love and his grace, then we're overwhelmed, for he shows us ourselves so lacking, so much in need in so many areas of our lives. And that's exactly what Isaiah saw. He saw the need in his life was unclean lips. He needed a touch from heaven on his mouth and his conversation. How could he possibly use his mouth for God when his mouth was not full of the kind of conversation that was pleasing to God? And so he had a confrontation with the Lord as he'd never had before. And right there, God did a new work in his life. That's when you hear Isaiah saying, "Here am I, Lord. Here am I, Lord, for any place, any time, any area. I'm ready. I'm willing." Do you remember when Paul was converted? You know what Paul did after he was converted? He didn't go out to preaching and teaching immediately and turning many to righteousness. No. He went to a desert for 3 years, and there he lived alone with the Lord. I wonder why. Have you ever wondered why Paul did this? I'm sure I know why. He suddenly realized that he had met someone who knew him better than he knew himself. He always thought he knew Paul. But suddenly he had had a confrontation with God through Jesus Christ, as Isaiah did. And he knew one thing. He had to get alone with the one who knew him better than he knew himself. And dear hearts, this is what we have to do. We have to get alone with God. Do you have a devotional time in your life, alone with God, with His Word, with His person and His presence, through His Word, so that the light of the Holy Spirit can be turned on your life to show you to yourself? Everybody needs a learning experience with the Lord. That's why we see Jesus coming to the house of Mary and Martha, and Martha rustling around in that kitchen, getting madder by the moments, throwing around the pots and pans, and wondering why her sister could be so lazy, just sitting at the Lord and taking everything in. And Jesus very kindly said to Martha, "Martha, Mary hath chosen the right thing to do. She's having a learning experience with me. She's learning about herself. She's learning about what I can do for her. I know you. I know you, Martha, and I know why you're reacting as you are. And I know Mary, and I'm revealing Mary to herself." Ah, dear heart, this is the secret. To get alone with the Lord and let Him show you to yourself, and then allow His Holy Spirit to cleanse those areas that need to be cleansed because He knows you better than you know yourself. The third thing God said to Jeremiah, He's saying to you and to me, "I set you apart for a very special purpose. I marked you with love. My brand is on you. My brand, my marking is love. And I have set you apart to do something for me." Woman alone, are you living in one room all by yourself? Are you frustrated by the insecurity of the tomorrows? Are you surrounded by the crumbling structures that you see have been turned into ashes? And you wonder about what kind of a life you're going to have from this point on? Are you full of fear? Are you bored? Take a good look at what God says to you. "I have purpose for you." What? Alone? With all my structures crumbled? With no security in my tomorrow? Yes. I have purpose for you. I don't know if you have read 1 Corinthians, the 7th chapter, recently. But you know, the Holy Spirit deals through the hand and heart of Paul with this whole question of the married versus the unmarried, the married versus the single. And Paul talks very openly and very honestly. He said, don't resent the fact if you're not married. Praise God for your state. There's a reason for this, because he said everybody has been given by God what God wants him to have. Verse 7 of 1 Corinthians 7, "For I would that all men were even as myself. But every man hath his proper gift of God, one after this manner, and another after that. Of course I say to the unmarried and the widows, it is good for them if they abide, even as I." You say, well, I don't understand that. What's good about the unmarried state? What's good about the state that is aloneness? What's good about this state that spells nothing but insecurity? Well, I'd like to ask you a question. Do you think that one that is married has any more security than you do? Do you think that the one that is married is any less frustrated than you are? With the pressures of our society and the permissiveness of it, I find many tearful women who are married and have children, many broken-hearted women, many women who are surrounded with crumbling structures in the family that they gave their lives to raise. There is no one free from fear or frustration. No one. That's why Paul said in this same chapter, 1 Corinthians, the 7th chapter. He said, I would have you without carefulness. That's verse 32. He that is unmarried careth for the things that belong to the Lord, how he may please the Lord. But he that is married careth for the things that are of this world, how he may please his wife, and vice versa, how she may please her husband. And I think of the many women who have come to me who told me that they had a close walk with the Lord until they got married. And then came the conflict. Do I please the Lord or do I please my husband? There's conflict. There's frustration for you. So as you sit there, wherever you are today, maybe full of resentment, maybe full of self-pity, go back to 1 Corinthians, the 7th chapter. I've only given you a few verses in this chapter that talk about evaluating the married versus the unmarried. And look at them again and realize why Paul said what he did. I would that the widows stay unmarried because then they can please the Lord. I would that someone who is single does not feel as if their state is of ill repute, but that it is a blessed state. It is a state in which you can please the Lord and realize that the Lord hath set you apart at this moment for a special purpose. A few weeks ago, I was sitting with a Christian psychiatrist who said this to me. He said, self-pity is the attitude that causes more extreme mental and physical fatigue than anything else. And I believe that because I have watched friends of mine go from a state of married bliss into unmarried frustration. And they've been overwhelmed with self-pity, always tired, mentally and physically, never having any zeal. And I'm wondering if that spells your life today. I set you apart, said the Lord, with a special purpose. What does God have for me to do right now in my single state? He will give you something special to do. For as we come to point 4, he reiterates, I appointed you. I appointed you. I've not only set you apart with a purpose, but I've given you my special appointment to please the Lord in the place of his choosing. You know, your love life with Jesus will determine how usable you are. There are many times I've had young people come to me and say, I want to be used of the Lord. That surely is the wrong terminology. Because what we need to say is, I want to be usable. That's very different. And whether we are usable or not determines what our love life is with Jesus Christ. Jesus put his finger on that after Peter had gone out into his fishing trip, which was self-appointed. It was not of God's choosing. He decided he was going to go fishing, and he did. And so you can read it in John 21 for yourselves. It's a great chapter. I've lived in this chapter many, many times because there are many times in my life through self-effort, human effort, and self-will, I've ended up with an empty net of failure. And I mean failure. And it has frustrated me. Sometimes it's made me angry. Sometimes it's disillusioned me. And then I read on in John 21 that the Lord puts his finger on the problem. He puts his finger on our love life with him. That's how John 21 concludes. What is your love life with me, Peter? If you are having an intense love affair with the Lord Jesus Christ, you're going to realize that he made you as you are. He knows you better than you know yourself. He has set you apart with a purpose in your life, even though you're single. And he's put you in an appointed place to do something special for him. For instance, he said to Peter, feed my lambs. Now you know the lambs need feeding. They need special care. They need special attention. They can't be stepped on or pushed down or walked over. They need training. They need guiding. They need to be led, not driven. And I think of how many lambs in God's sheepfold need special care. Just think of how beautiful it would be if you realized that the Lord has an appointed place for you to feed the lambs. take care of the lambs. You who are alone and are not confined by all the pressures of family demands, you are free to do this. Another thing Jesus said to Peter, tend my sheep. Not only feed my lambs, but tend my sheep. Notice the lambs have grown up into sheep. Sheep always need tending. They need all kinds of edifying, and that's what we're encouraged to do through the Pauline letters. We're encouraged to edify each other, to tend each other. When someone falls by the wayside, when someone gets full of fear, when someone's life is suddenly stricken, to be able to be there and say, look, it worked in my life. The Spirit of God came to my defense. The Spirit of God gave me the grace I needed. What a beautiful moment that is to share with sheep that are going through the struggles of life. Tend my sheep. And then the last time he said, feed. Feed my sheep. You know, those of you who have been involved in family life, and now you are alone, you'll know there's a lot of love and care and hours that go into feeding. The shopping. The spending of the money. That goes very fast these days. The earning of the money to be able to spend it. All of the areas of involvement that go into that word feed, that's a full day's job. I, as a grandmother, can think of how many hours of my life I could have saved and had for myself if I didn't have to feed the family. That's exactly what Jesus is saying to Peter. You know, Peter, if you love me, if your love life is right with me, you're going to give over your life to the feeding of the lambs, the tending of the sheep, and the feeding of my sheep. And I say that to you, woman alone. There's much to be done in this world. A world of hurt. A world of heartbroken people right around you. If you're living in a condominium, the person living across the hall from you, the one living above you, right or left of you, they're full of hurt. They're full of heartache. Feed. Feed my lambs. Tend my sheep. Feed my sheep. Do you know that God is doing some wonderful things across this world today? There's revival fires, and they're blazing everywhere in the world. And it's exciting to see this happen, because you know how God is doing this. He's doing this through women in many areas. Not that he's excluding the men. No way. But God is using a woman alone. I think of a woman, a professional woman, in a big hospital in Melbourne, Australia. How God took this woman's life, brought her back to Melbourne after she had studied for a year here in the United States, and showed her what a tremendous ministry she could have amongst the nurses in that hospital. How God has used that life. Today, she's part of a great organization called the Christian Women's Conventions of Australia. She's a keynote speaker. She's an administrator. She's involved in every single area of involvement that her spare time could possibly be given to. And I just saw her last year, and she said to me, Millie, I'm living 5 lives at one time. A woman who at one time was unhappy because marriage had passed her by. Other members in her family had been married. Here she was, a woman alone, frustrated and full of insecurity. And yet, now she has such a full life that she doesn't know how to get all of it into one day. There it is. That's a living example. And I'm just giving you this woman's example. I could give you examples all over the world how women alone have taken up the challenge. I have appointed you. I have a special place for you. And the place is tending the lambs, the sheep, feeding the lambs, feeding the sheep. There it is. I can't think of anything that's more rewarding, dear heart. I can't think of anything that will make your life more precious to you and more precious to others than to realize that what God said to Jeremiah, he is saying to you and to me. I made you. I know you. Get together with me. Learn what you're really like. Learn acceptance. Then learn adjusting to yourself. Because I, the Holy Spirit, will help you adjust. I am the one who can make possible acceptance in your life. I have set you apart for a purpose. Alone? Yes, alone. But I've set you apart in your aloneness for a special purpose. And I have appointed you. I've appointed you to feed my lambs, to tend my sheep, and to feed my sheep. God bless you, woman, alone. God hath a purpose in your aloneness. Won't you praise God for that? Won't you begin thanking Him by saying, "Thank you, Lord, I only have one person to please, and that is you."